I'm going to get through all of this morning, but at least as much of it as I can. We want to look at James chapter number 5 and 16. Our text is going to come from there. It's right there on your papers. I think many of the scriptures are already there, so you won't have to turn too much in your Bible. The scripture reads there, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another, that ye may be healed." And it says, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." And this morning we want to talk about fervent prayer. Fervent prayer. And that word fervent, as you see there, means powerful, passionate, enthusiastic, devoted, dedicated, or simply wholehearted. Effectual means the process of achieving or accomplishing an end result. And then the word availeth means to gain or advance, or somewhat like effectual, but meaning achieve or to get the reward. So when we're focusing on in that scripture primarily the concept of the fervent prayer. And as you notice here from the scripture, it's just not any kind of fervent prayer, but it's the fervent prayer of a righteous man. It's the fervent prayer of a righteous man. Now, as we see here, it says the spirit that drives the saint or the seeker to move to Jesus blessing their soul or to answer a prayer is the concept of having a fervent spirit or expressing a fervent need for Jesus. Saint or the seeker must be mindful of every action. They got to be mindful of every response, the attitude, and the motive, because what we do, how we do it, and why we do it displays our true and genuine need for Jesus. Our belief that Jesus is God or being God is shown by our level of fervency or our level of passion, our level of devotion, our level of enthusiasm. Now, when you're looking at that concept, one thing that you, as a pastor or your leader, I hate to see a saint lose their heat or let their fire die out. You want people to stay burning for Jesus. Stay on fire for the Lord. But I know life, if you let it, will dampen your fire. Life is like water, rain, or whatever you want to call it. You throw that on a flame long enough, eventually that flame loses its potency. And we don't want to let the things that we go through in life dampen our fire or dampen our passion or our enthusiasm for Jesus. So when you think about the word fervent, you always should think about the concept of fire. All right? Mm-hmm. All right. So when you look in that prayer, prayer is our line of communication. Prayer is powerful and works. But the results are dependent upon the seeker's level of fervency. You notice if you see the several examples that I gave you there in James and also in the book of Matthew, let's see what it says about those the results of prayer. What does it say? Prayer, the prayer of faith is going to do what? Isn't that something? Mm-hmm. Those that may be dealing with sickness, you cannot devalue prayer, because it says the prayer of faith will do what? It'll save the sick. And who's going to raise them up? It's nothing like having Jesus raise you up from a bed of affliction. Because when the Lord do it, you won't give credit to nobody else. You know, a lot of times people go back to the hospitals and say, "I'm so grateful for this doctor being my doctor and this doctor doing that." But when a person realizes it was Jesus, something different. They don't go back to no hospital and give no praise to no flesh. They simply say, "I thank Jesus. Thank Jesus for using you. Thank Jesus for giving you the wisdom and the understanding to help me But at the end of the day, I realized it was nobody but Jesus that touched my body. At the end of the day, Jesus is the one that made your body, so he's the only one that can touch your body. He is the only one that can raise the body up from its sickness, right? All right, and what does the rest of it say? Yes, that's right, that's right. If he has committed any sin, it shall be, do what? Forgiven of him. And all of that is a result of what? Prayer. All of that is a result of the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith. You know, when you come in here for prayer, on the nights that we have prayer, how the enemy attacks you. Even while you're down on your knees, the battle that you deal with, just trying to keep your mind on Jesus, trying to resist the flesh, trying to resist all of those thoughts, trying to resist your body's, the things that your body may go through, whether it be pain in your knees or your back or your neck, whether it's your throat itching, nose scratching, sweat irritating you while it's on your forehead, or you may have worked all day long and you're tired, you may smell your breath and it's not fresh. All of these things are going on in your mind, and it's trying to distract you from Jesus. That's how I'm trying to help you to understand that devil don't want you to tap into that prayer of faith. He doesn't want you to tap into that fervent prayer, that prayer that is driven by heat, driven by passion, driven by enthusiasm. In other words, it's got fire behind it, right? That's the truth. Look at the next example. Elijah. Yep. In other words, this brother went through the same things that we were going through. But look at what it says there at the rest of it. He prayed earnestly. Yeah, isn't that something? That's right. See the power. See how your prayer can work. Look at the first example. Prayer can heal your body. Prayer can heal your body. Prayer can allow your sins to be forgiven. Your mistakes, your errors, your shortcomings, all of that, you get all of that addressed or dealt with through prayer. Next one, you see, prayer can control or influence the environment, right? Ain't that something? You can pray a good prayer, and I mean, if you need the Lord to die, especially those that work on the outside, I've seen the Lord do this. When I was working on the outside, I would pray and ask the Lord, please, Jesus, let this storm pass by. And all of a sudden, the Lord would let that rain just pause just for a moment. It would be amazing to see Jesus do that thing for me, because where I was at, it may start to just do a little mist or drizzle. And then I look across the street and it's just opening up. I mean, pouring down. And people say, oh, it's just because you wasn't up under that cloud. No, I believe I prayed to Jesus. I believe I prayed to Jesus and Jesus heard my prayer. Why? Because it was a desire of mine. It came to me. It was as though the Lord saw the sincerity of my heart. He saw the thing that concerned me, and he came by and addressed it. You would say, even when somebody blesses you with a bottle of water or anything like that, somebody say, let's go take a break or something like that, and you know you're tired. Well, ain't nobody but the Lord do that for you. Because he sees you have prayed or you have expressed that concern to him. And you give Jesus the credit for it. This is just like Elijah. Elijah said he prayed and earnestly before the Lord and asking the Lord that hold back the rain, Lord Jesus. And it rained what? Isn't that something? That's when things come up in your life, you earnestly go before Jesus and ask Jesus to bless you. Even if you are living around other people that don't have a mind to pray, you get on your knees and you cry out to the Lord and you ask the Lord sincerely, Jesus, you see what is before me. You see what is happening to me in my life. You are the only one that can answer and fix my problem. You go before Jesus like that, he will help you. Why? It's because you're treating him as though he is Lord over your life. You realize, Jesus, everything that is going on, you are in control of it. And if anybody can stop it, it's you, Jesus. That's the truth. That's the truth. Anybody can stop it, it's you. You see the devil raging. You see stuff going on all around you. If anybody can stop that foolishness, it's Jesus. That's why you say, Elder Scudder, what's wrong with the world? I believe it's because people aren't praying like this used to. There's no sense of earnest. There's no sense of fervency in the prayer. Prayer has become artificial. Prayer has been limited now to conference calls. People want you to get on this conference call and dial this number and just listen over the phone and pray. What's wrong with your knees? Oh, what's wrong with you getting on your knees and calling Jesus for yourself? You don't need a telephone to talk to Jesus. All you need is your knees, right? All you need is your knees. Get on your knees and call on the name of Jesus. Say, well, Scudder, we want everybody to be on this, doing it at the same time. Tell the folk. Say, at 8 o'clock, we're going to get on our knees and pray. And all you need to worry about is you. You don't need to worry about whether this person did it or that person did it. The Lord gave you a mind or someone else a mind to say, pray at this time. You do what you're supposed to do. Wherever you are at, if you can't get on your knees, sit in your car. You can't sit in your car, sit in the park. You can't sit in the park, say, I need a break. I need to get away from this job for 5 minutes. Why? Because it's prayer time. I need to go before Jesus earnestly, letting the Lord know, Jesus, I need your help, right? Jesus, I need your help. I need you to do something for me that I cannot do for myself.
Thank you, Jesus.
And the Lord will honor your prayer.
Yes, he will.
But I'm trying to tell you, the society, the way that the world is going, it's not like Jesus. All these conference calls and prayer lines, it's not like Jesus. Do you say if it was like Jesus? Jesus gave us a timeless formula. A formula that is not bound by technology. Do you think these conferences calls are orchestrated by Jesus? No, it is not. You think these the solicitation to gather people together is limited to a conference call? What were the saints doing in Scripture? They had no phone, huh? They had no phone, yet Jesus moved, huh? So that means you don't need no conference call. What you need is a fervent prayer life. That's all you need. All you need is to put some enthusiasm and some passion and some devotion behind your communication with the Lord. And then you just stand still and watch the Lord work. You just step back and watch Jesus work for you. Treat Jesus as he is God. He wants to be treated as God, meaning the supreme one in your life. You got to let the Lord know, Jesus, you don't come second to nobody. You're number one. Huh? You are the source of everything that I have. I cannot live without you. I cannot breathe without you. I am nothing without you, Jesus. Therefore, when I talk to him, I talk to him as humbly as I can. I don't go demanding him to do anything. When somebody's in control, you can't demand that they do anything. You say, Jesus, be merciful. Jesus, please, I'm begging you. Just have mercy on me this time, Jesus. Deliver my mind this time, Jesus. And watch him work. Just watch the Lord work. That's what the scripture say Elijah did. He went before the Lord passionately. Huh? Earnestly. Huh? Prayed to the Lord that it might not rain. Huh? And what happened? It rained not. It did not rain on the earth for the space of what? Now the farmers would have looked at that and said, oh no, we cursed. Huh? We cursed because ain't no rain happening. Ain't no crops growing. There's no growth, huh? But little did they know that there was someone that had a direct line with Jesus who was trying to wake the people up out of sleep to let them know you can't depend on your abilities. You need to depend on Jesus. He is the giver of life, huh? He is what causes growth, huh? He is what causes strength, huh? That's the truth. When your body is weak, you need to look to Jesus for your strength. Huh? The scripture says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. There's nothing weak about the name, right? The name is your strength. That name will give your body energy. It'll give your mind strength. Huh? Come on, it's the truth. Come on, and what does he say again? He prayed again. And the heaven gave rain. Huh? That's the truth. See, the power of prayer. I don't want you to devalue prayer. Huh? That's the truth. You in a hard place?
Yes.
Huh? Turn that phone off. You in a hard place? Stop talking to other people about it. And go before the Lord. Say, Jesus, see where I am at. Huh? Jesus, talk to the Lord. Let him know. Jesus, I know you know everything. I don't even have to tell you where I am because you already know it. You already know it. You already see it. Jesus, this is what I am feeling. Huh? Oh, yeah, open yourself up. Make yourself vulnerable to Jesus. Jesus, this is what I'm feeling. If you're feeling doubt, tell him. Huh? If you're feeling worried, tell Jesus. If you're feeling frustrated, tell Jesus. If you feel like you ain't got no hope, tell Jesus. Say, Jesus, you feel like giving up? Tell the Lord. Don't call no crisis line. Let Jesus be your crisis line. In other words, develop a prayer life with Jesus. A consistent, enthusiastic, earnest prayer life. Huh? Tell the Lord all about it. Huh? Ain't no mistake we sang that song this morning. It's true. We say the Lord is your best friend. Tell Jesus. Let the Lord be closer to you than anybody else. Just talk to Jesus. Say, oh, Scott, I don't know how to pray. Yes, you do. You know how to talk, don't you? You know how to open up your mouth and tell folk what you want. That's what prayer is. Prayer is your line of communication. Lord, only thing he wants you to do is recognize who he is. Huh? Don't say the man upstairs. Oh, Father time. No, call him by his name. God highly exalted him and gave him a name which is above every name. Lord wants you to honor the name of Jesus. Let Jesus know, Jesus, you are my God. My neighbor may be calling on Jehovah. My children may be calling on Allah. But Jesus, you are my God. You're the one I need to answer my prayer, Jesus. That's the truth. That's the truth. Hey, look at the next example there in Matthew.
And Jesus rebuked the devil. And he departed out of him.
Yes.
And the child was cured from that very hour.
Now, the Lord, look at what the Lord say. He rebuked that devil. You see, and what happened? That devil got out of him. Huh? Ain't no sense in you walking around day after day constantly possessed by a devil. Why are you like that? Why are you like that when the Lord can cure you? Huh? If Jesus is the cure, why stay in that condition? Huh? Why sit up there and linger in that thing over and over, day after day after day? If you just go to Jesus, he will heal you. Huh? Come on, that's the first example. He will heal you. He will forgive you. Huh? He will make things happen that seem impossible. Huh? He will make that devil come out of you, right? That devil of lying. That devil of deceit. Huh? That devil of hypocrisy. Whatever that demon is. Jesus said he will make him come out. Jesus will rebuke him and make him come out. Huh? And when the Lord make that devil come out, honey, you are cured. Huh? You don't have to ask nobody, are you cured? You know you're cured. Huh? Why? Because you'll be in your right mind. Huh? When you got a mind to serve the Lord, you in your right mind. Don't you let anybody devalue when you have a mind to come in these doors. That's a right mind. Huh? Come on, that's a right mind. You're thinking right. Huh? You say, well, this gotta stop, don't still be working out. Stop looking at your problem. Think about what you are doing. You are carving time out of your life. Huh? And you're saying, Jesus, this time belongs to you. Huh? I'm cutting TV off. I'm not talking to no friends. I'm not reading no books. I'm listening about you. I'm singing about you. You don't think that make the Lord happy? Huh? When he look over all the earth and these people are doing everything but serving Jesus. And he sees little old you walking through those doors. Huh? Like a little tiny baby bird. You know how the baby birds be having their mouths open? Huh? They be sitting up in that nest, not knowing what the mother gonna feed them. All they know is when they hear that mother come near, they open up their mouth and say, I'm ready to eat. That's how the Lord wants you to be to receive that Holy Ghost. Huh? Holy Ghost wants to work inside of you, but it wants you to just say, open up and be ready to receive whatever the Lord got in store for you, right? That's true. Yeah. You got to be like that little baby bird.
Yeah.
Every time you come through these doors,
yeah,
and just be ready to receive whatever the Lord have in store for you.
You
got to step outside of yourself.
Yeah.
You got to say, I ain't worried about nobody else looking at me.
Jesus.
I ain't worried about nobody what nobody else thinking about me.
Right.
All I know is I want to receive something from Jesus.
Right.
I came here because I want the Lord to bless my soul.
Right.
And he's the only one that can bless me. He is my parent bird. In other words, he's the one to feed me. I am that baby in that nest. I am that one that cannot fly. I am that one that cannot feed themselves. I am completely dependent upon you, Jesus. It's the attitude you got to have. That's that mind frame that you have to develop down on the inside. That every time the Lord blesses you to come through these doors, you got to be ready to receive something from the Lord Jesus. You got to put every thought down. You got to stop worrying about what you're going to do later on. You got to stop worrying about what's going on, what problems, situations you got. Yes, because they're going to be there. You came in with them, they're going to be there. But you got to focus on the Lord Jesus and depend on the Lord Jesus to fix that thing. Some kind of way. I don't need to figure out how he's going to do it. All I need to know is that he's got the power to do it, right? That's what you call faith. Faith is the substance of things what hope for, the evidence of things what? If you could see it, it's not faith, right? But when you're able to move without seeing it, that's faith, right? That's faith. That's faith. You got to have faith in the Lord Jesus. That's why I tell you all the time, no matter how you feel and what you're going through, just get through these doors. Show the Lord Jesus, I'm believing in you. I don't know what you're going to do for me, but I'm believing in you, right? I'm believing in you. I'm waiting for the day the people find that faith to come on into the church on stretchers. Huh? Come on into the church in wheelchairs. Huh? Come on into the church pulling by their arms. Because their legs won't work. Huh? People say like that, you need to stay on home. No, no, no. They're coming in here because they want to believe that the Lord is able to do what? Heal them. Huh? Jesus said, I want to see faith, right? Lord is saying that to you and I. He wants to see faith. Where is your faith at? Huh? Where is your trust? Where is your reliance in Jesus' ability to do what you cannot do, right? Huh? I believe the Lord is able to do what I cannot do. Therefore, I come before him and say, Jesus, do this. Jesus, do that. Why? Because I'm letting him know I cannot do it. Huh? I don't have the power. I don't have the strength. I don't have the ability to do it, right? I'm not smart enough. I'm not smart enough to do it. I don't have enough muscle might to deal with this. Huh? That's the truth. Lord, I want to hear that. You say, man, I got to be strong. Nah, not when you come before the Lord. You need to come weak. You need to let the Lord know, Jesus, I'm desperate for you. I am in deep desperation for you, Lord Jesus. You know, that's what people used to try to avoid when they be in relationships. Because that was the thing going up when we were coming up. We would say, a girl don't like you. Say, I ain't desperate. I don't want her to think I'm desperate for her. I could do, you know, if you don't want me, it ain't nothing bothering me. I'll move on. Because the last thing I want you to think is I'm desperate. But when you come before Jesus, you got to get out of that kind of attitude. Lord want to see you desperate for him, right? Lord want to see that you can't exist without him. Huh? That it aches you when he's not there. Huh? When I don't feel Jesus, it bothers me. It makes me feel nervous. That's the truth, saints. When I'm saying Jesus, Jesus, and I don't feel nothing, I get nervous. Why? Because I'm calling on his name, right? And the last thing I want is the Lord not to answer me when I'm calling him, right? That's true. I need to know that the Lord is there with me. That's true. Lord said he rebuked that devil. And that devil came out. Huh? And that boy was what? Cured. They cured from when? That very hour. The Lord worked faster than any medication in the world. Y'all believe that? I believe that. The Lord works faster than any medication in the world. Huh? This boy, he didn't go to no psychiatrist. Huh? He wasn't on no mental medication. Jesus went into that brain and pulled that devil out of it. Huh? And then told that devil, go. That's what depart means, go.
to Satan and have Jesus talk to him, right? If you talk to him, he'll stay right there. But if the Lord say, he'll say, go, right? That devil got to get out. Devil got to get out. And you got to be what? Cured. I like that word, cured. Huh? That means ain't no, that sickness ain't coming back no more. Huh? That's what I'm looking for the Lord to do in my sister's body. I'm looking for Jesus to do that for you, sister. I got the faith that the Lord can cure you, right? That's what I'm looking for the Lord to do. Lord, I'm looking for the Lord to come through and just do something. I don't know how he's going to do it. I don't know when he's going to do it. But I'm believing that he is able to do. Why? Because the word said it. If the word said it, that's all I need to know. He said that boy was cured. Within that hour, right? And then we say, the disciples wonder, how can we not do this, Lord Jesus? I want you just to pay attention to the bold print. Jesus said, how be it? This kind goeth forth. But see the power of prayer. Turn that plate down and call on the name of Jesus. Sister Scott told you, you got Tuesday, you got Thursday, but you ain't got to be limited to those days. You got to go by what the Lord blesses your mind to do. You may need to jump into a fast today. You may need to jump into that fast today. Lord may be burdening your mind. You may feel the fervency building up inside of you. And that means you need to enter into a fast. You need to enter into a fast and you need to enter into prayer. Come on, that's the truth. You say, Elder Scott, how should I pray? You don't need to say no long drawn out prayers. Go over to John chapter number 14 and let's see how we need to learn how to pray. John chapter number 14, starting at verse number 13.
14 and 13. Yes. That whatsoever
you
ask in my name.
What the Lord wants you to do? Just ask in his name. See, people will call us crazy. People say, y'all are chanting. Y'all coming in here doing all that chanting? I'll say, chanting? What you hear us doing? You just keep saying, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Well, that's the only name I know. That's the only name I know under the heaven. You go outside, you're going to be where? Under the heaven. You go across the street, you're still going to be what?
Under the heaven.
You go down to Antarctica. You still going to be where?
Under the heaven.
If I go over to Zimbabwe, I'm still going to be where?
Under the heaven.
There's only one name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, right? No other name can do for me like Jesus can. And here this scripture is telling you, whatsoever you ask how.
That will I do.
You want the Lord to do something for you? Just ask in his name. Say, Elder Scott, I want the Holy Ghost. Ask in his name. Ask him in his name. I ask him for how long? Ask him until he answers you. That's where that word earnest got to kick in. That's where that word fervent got to kick in. See, earnest is the same thing kind of like with fervent. Fervent means enthusiastic, right? Fervent means powerful. Fervent means what? Passionate. Fervent means devoted. Dedicated. Now, you can't come to the Lord. You can't call his name half-hearted. You got to call him wholehearted. You got to say, Lord Jesus, all of it belongs to you. You got to call Jesus wholeheartedly. That means you got to call him till you are out of breath. If it means it's your last breath, you got to use that last breath to say, Jesus. That means if you pass out afterwards, you got to pass out. When the folks say, how did they pass out? They passed out calling on Jesus. That means I gave the Lord my everything, right? Gave the Lord my everything. Y'all heard? Y'all have seen me preach? You seen me preach to the point I had no more voice. But what is that telling you? I preach with everything inside of me. Huh? I preach till I lost my voice. But did it stop me? No, I kept right on preaching. Huh? It wouldn't come out like I wanted to, but I was letting the Lord know I'm not in this half-hearted. I'm in this with my whole heart, right? I'm in this with my whole heart. I'm doing this with everything inside of me. I'm serving the Lord with everything inside of me. That's why I can't understand these attitudes people be having when it comes down to church work. When it comes down to doing something for the Lord. That when we was at the meeting on yesterday, and they were saying, "Oh no, no, it's getting late, it's getting late." I couldn't understand that. I was saying to myself, "Well, you all are living right around the corner. I got to drive 2 hours from here, huh?" Well, say, I just got to wire you. I'm doing it because I'm in this wholeheartedly. I'm not playing no games. I'm serious about my salvation. I mean to go back with Jesus when he comes. Huh? So I don't understand half stepping. I can't get with that. Not when I think about what it requires for the Lord to bless your soul. I didn't get where I am in life half stepping. I'm only where I am at because I gave Jesus my whole heart. So I know it works. I know it works. Now look at my children. I don't go through things a lot of other parents go through. I don't go through my children, you know, raising their voice up at me, arguing that at me. I don't go through that. I don't go through having to fight my kids. I don't go through those kind of things. They know rules. Do they break them every now and then? Yes, they children. Huh? And then I got to get in a parent mode. But I don't have to go through the whole arguing and fighting. And I'm going to do this. I don't got to go through all of that. Huh? Why? Because I call on Jesus. Jesus keeps peace in my whole house. Y'all understand that? From my roof all the way to my basement. Huh? I ain't got nothing in there that's going to disrespect Jesus. Huh? I'm not the Lord. No, Lord, this all belongs to you, right? And I'm depending on him to keep peace in my home. And he has done it. Huh? Am I still waiting on the Lord to do more? Yeah, I'm still waiting. Still waiting on the Lord to do some more in my house. Because I want my baby saved. I want my baby filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. Does that mean? Because she may not have no mind. But I say, well, whatever. She ain't got no mind to be saved right now. But that don't mean I'm not going to stop praying for her. That don't mean I'm not going to stop trying to convince her to live this life. Huh? You say, I just got to. Well, you should stop her. I can't stop no grown person from doing nothing. Huh? But one thing I can do, as long as you live up under my roof, these are the rules. This is who we serve. Huh? Why woke up this morning to remind them, we serve Jesus. Get up out that bed. It's time to go, right? Huh? This ain't nothing new. We've been doing this from day one. But it works. Huh? It works. Huh? Lord has kept them for however many years. And I'm praying for the Lord to do. Keep them right on. Every friend that the Lord bless them, I'm praying that they live a life in front of them. So that they want to, one day, will come on in and be a part of what they are part of. Huh? And if they don't want to be a part of it, I'm trying to raise them up in such a way that you're willing to say, if you don't want Jesus, I still like you. You're still my friend, but we got to go our separate ways. Why? Because we are in this wholeheartedly. Come on. You got to be in this wholeheartedly. You can't half step. Not if you want the Lord to do what work for you. Not if you want these prayers to be answered. Huh? What kind of prayers? When I am sick, I need the Lord to heal me. Huh? When I do something wrong, I need the Lord to forgive me. Huh? When my back is up against the wall and I don't know how to fix the problem, I need to earnestly go before Jesus and say, Jesus, make that devil stop. Huh? I need the Lord to take the wind out of Satan. Huh? Y'all understand that? Huh? You see that devil come raging at. I said, Jesus, Jesus, you see this devil coming out? Take the wind out of him, Jesus.
Thank you.
Huh? Showing up the Lord to do that. Huh? When I need the Lord to help somebody to help me. I need the Lord to give somebody a mind to step right on in and say, I'll do this for you. I'll do that for you. I ain't got no problem. You just you give credit to who? Because he's the one to do it. He's the one that do it. Don't you go give him the credit to nobody else. You give the credit to Jesus. Because he's the one that did it. Huh? He did it because I did what I prayed to him. Huh? I prayed and I asked him in his name. I just simply said, Jesus, do this. Jesus, I need you to do that. Jesus, I need your help in this. And when he do it, you give him the credit. Huh? That's true. That's true. That's true. Come on. Howbeit, this kind cometh forth no other way but by prayer and fasting. And John told you anything that you ask out of the heaven, ask how? In his name. And if you ask in his name, what did he say? I will do it. Huh? Huh? Or that will I do. Is that what John said? In other words, Jesus will do it, right? All you got to do is do your part. Huh? Don't worry about how he's going to do it. Don't worry about when he's going to do it. All you got to do is just do what? Your part. And what is your part? Ask in his what? Ask in his name. Huh? Does that make sense? I'm trying to break it down for you. Go back to your papers. Look at this example about Hezekiah. Huh? Now remember, if the Lord did it for him, he will do it for you. Why? Because the Lord has no respect of person. Huh? If you want to put your own name there. Put your own name there. Why? Because why? See, I just got to. You can't go changing the Bible. I ain't changing the Bible. I'm telling you, the Lord ain't got no respect to person. That means if he did it for Hezekiah, he'll do it for Stephen. So I can put my own name in that same verse. So long as I do what Hezekiah did, right? Huh? So the thing that should come to me is say, what did Hezekiah do? Huh? Let's see what Hezekiah did. What were y'all going to read? Go. Yes.
Thus saith the Lord,
uh-huh.
God of David thy father.
Yes.
I have heard thy prayer.
Uh-huh.
I have seen thy tears.
What? How did Hezekiah just wasn't talking to Jesus? He was really crying out to the Lord. I'm trying to tell you, when you get down on your knees and pray, cry out to Jesus. Get out of yourself and cry out to the Lord. Say, I don't want nobody to see me cry. I'm trying to tell you, put your mind on Jesus. And just open up and cry out to the Lord, right? I cry out to the Lord. Many days I'll be walking down the street. And the Lord just let tears drop down my eyes. I don't try to hold them things back. Why? Because my inside is talking to the Lord, right? I need the Lord to move. Some kind of way I need the Lord to move. Some kind of way I need the Lord to come by and encourage my heart. Huh? Elder Scott, you get discouraged? Yes, I do. I get discouraged. I get discouraged in my mind. Sometimes by how things are going. You know, when you've gone all these years and nobody is receiving the Holy Ghost, that is a discouragement to me. Huh? That's a discouragement to me. Why? Because I want people saved. Huh? I want people to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I want them to have the same joy that I have. Huh? And it's not encouraging when I don't see that happening. And in order for me to overcome that discouragement, I got to cry out to Jesus. Huh? I have to do it until the Lord removes that burden. Huh? And he lets me realize it's not your fault. Huh? You're not to blame. Why? Because it takes that person to have a fervent spirit, right? Lord still answers. He still answers prayer. When you come before him with a fervent mind, he still answers prayer, right? I know it to be true. I ain't got to bank on what you feeling. All I got to know is what the Lord do for me. When I get enthusiastic, huh? You say, well, Scott, I thought you was feeling discouraged. Well, do you realize discouragement is flesh? Discouragement is self? Huh? When you get stressed out, that's yourself. When you get depressed, that's yourself. That has nothing to do with Jesus. Jesus is not a depressing spirit. Jesus is not a sad God. Huh? Jesus is not a lonely being. Huh? He is full of joy. He's full of peace, right?
Yes,
he is the peacemaker.
Thank you.
He said he's joy unspeakable.
That's right.
Huh? That's scripture. Scripture describes Jesus being joy unspeakable. Huh? When you get to the point where you can describe it, that ain't no Jesus. But when you get to the point where you say, I just don't care, put no words on this. That's Jesus you want. That's Jesus you want. When somebody say, well, what is it? All I can say is just Jesus. It's just Jesus. It's nobody but Jesus, right? Huh? Yeah, that's nobody but Jesus. Oh, so, yeah, you need to go before the Lord. You need to go before the Lord in tears. Huh? Oh, yeah, you need to go before the Lord in tears. The grown men cry, amen. We cry. Huh? I ain't got to ask no other man because I'm a man. I'm telling you, grown men cry. But I ain't crying on your shoulder. I'm crying on Jesus. Huh? Don't look for me to come cry on your shoulder. Huh? All the years I've been married, my wife has never seen me cry on her shoulder. She's seen me cry, but I've never cried on her shoulder. Why? Because she can't help me. Y'all understand that? She can't help me. Only one that can deliver me is Jesus. Can she cry on my shoulder? Yes. That's my job. I'm her husband. Huh? I'm the one that's supposed to take care of her, right? See, it's a difference. That's why you ain't got, we don't have many men.
No.
These things will be walking around all these muscles. They ain't really no men. Ain't really no men. That ain't no men. Ain't not no men. A real man serves the Lord. Real man serves the Lord. A real man don't have to show you how much muscles he has. Real men don't have to do those kinds of things. Real men don't have to go around talking about, I'm a man. Huh? You just act like one. You a man? Act like one. Huh? That's it. You know a tree by the fruit it bear, right? So all you have to do is just act like you're supposed to act. Huh? I don't read no book. They're trying to tell me how to be no man. I don't need to listen to nobody telling me how to be no man. All I need to do is be who the Lord made me. Huh? Say, oh, Scotty, you cook? Amen, I cook. That ain't what men supposed to. Who told you that? Huh? Who told you the men don't cook? Well, I ain't seen my daddy cook. Well, maybe your dad didn't know how to cook. But I thought, well, that's the problem right there. There you go, your thoughts. Your thoughts are not his thoughts. And when the Lord give me a mind to go fry a piece of bacon, I'm going to fry that bacon. Huh? And ain't nothing wrong with me because I fry bacon, right? I could do more than fried bacon, but I'm just saying. I cook. You know, Sister Scotty know I cook. I cook. I make spaghetti. I'm the spaghetti maker in the house. Because Sister Scotty make it, she make it, but she knows I'm the spaghetti maker. If they really want spaghetti, they move out the way and they let Daddy do it, right? Because I'm the spaghetti maker, right? You got things you know how to do, right? Huh? That's true. You know how to make oodles and noodles? You the oodles and noodles man. Right? Huh? Yeah, you make the oodles and noodles. She moves out the way, and you make the oodles and noodles, right? Stay in your lane, Dick, right? Huh? Just stay in your lane. Yeah. But ain't nothing feminine about you because you make oodles and noodles.
That's right.
Right? Does that make sense? That makes sense to me. That makes sense to me. That's all, you know, just because you see a man cry out to the Lord don't mean he's less than a man. He should be crying out to Jesus. If the Lord bless us to have a church full of families, do you all realize it would be good for the men to take their families together? And I mean cry out to the Lord. Stop letting the my wife gonna take care of all the prayer. Well, what about you? What about you crying out to the Lord? Huh? I had to show my son it's all right for you to cry out to Jesus. He don't pray like that because he just saw his mother praying like that. It's been many days I cried out to the Lord. Not to say, well, oh, y'all looking at me? No, because I needed the Lord to help me. Brother Jones always reminds you, say, Elder Scott, you was up there crying to the Lord. I wasn't doing it to impress Brother Jones. Elder Scott was probably going through something, and I needed the Lord to help me. It just so happened it caught his attention. And as a result, that thing has been embedded in his mind. I don't even remember the time, but he got it in his mind. He said, Elder Scott, I remember that day. You was over there just crying. I mean, you were crying out with everything inside of you. And I just said, Jesus, Help him, Jesus. When he realized at that moment, if you want something from Jesus, it take crying out to the Lord. Forgetting about everybody around you, and you cry out to the Lord for yourself. Huh? Many of you cry out to the Lord. And it's good. It's good for you to do that. It's good for you to forget about all the people that are around you and just open up and cry out to Jesus for yourself. I love to see. Say, do you see it? I notice it. But I know I'm not. When you're like that, you're not worrying about me looking at you.
That's right. That's right.
That's the truth.
Yes, yes, yes.
You just cry out to the Lord.
Yes.
And let the Lord deliver.
Right.
And I can tell once you get up, you be so light, so, you know, happy and positive. I said, oh, yeah, you really cry out to the Lord.
Yeah.
Lord must have came by and blessed your soul. Huh? Huh? Yeah. I remind you, he ain't through with you.
No.
Come on back and let him do it a little bit more.
Yeah.
Huh?
Right.
If the devil's not through, Jesus is not through.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
So I just cried out to the Lord real good on Tuesday. Did you see the devil when you got back home? Huh? Yeah, he was everywhere. But then that means Jesus ain't through with you. You can say you did good by crying out, but the Lord is telling you, come back and get some more.
Yes, yes.
That's the truth, because why? You need to be able to go through all of this stuff. All right, I ain't mean to get off. Hezekiah, what did he do? He prayed. Prayed with what? Tears. And the Lord says, behold, I will do what? Isn't that something? Y'all missed one. Did y'all read the one in Kings? Y'all skipped over that one in Kings. I thought I heard the reading that one a little bit. It's still talking about Hezekiah, though. Talking about Hezekiah. He said, I heard thy prayer.
I have seen thy tears.
Yes.
Behold, I will heal thee. Right. On the third day, thou
shalt
go up unto the
house. So, what should you do when the Lord heal you? It ain't time for you to go on no vacation. Go to the healer. Let him know, Lord, I thank you, right? Huh? So when the Lord healed him, it wasn't time for him to go on no vacation. It was time for him to go away to the house of the Lord. Isn't that something? Huh? Folks get healed. The minute they get healed, they want to say, oh, I'm going to go on vacation to celebrate my healing. What about Jesus? What has Jesus done for you? Oh, I'll go to church when I get back. I hope you don't die on your vacation. I hope the Lord don't put a worse thing on you when you get back. Huh? Can Jesus do it? Yes, he will. Yes, Jesus is not mocked. Huh? What you sow, that you're going to reap, right? That's what the scripture says. Read that. Now y'all read the next one. It says, what does it say? Yes, it says, I heard thy prayer. And I've seen what? Thy tears. Behold, I will do what? Add. See how the Lord, isn't that something? The Lord bumped his death date. Isn't that something? See how he had an appointed time. And where did he do? He got to that appointed time. In other words, he was living out what Job said. Job said, I've appointed your bounds as you what? Cannot pay. But can the Lord bump that time? As Hezekiah, right? Because he came to that bound. But what did he say? Lord, I ain't ready yet. Huh? Lord, I'm not ready yet. Huh? He didn't tell his family. He didn't tell no doctors. He went and told Jesus with tears. And what did the Lord do? He bumped them. Huh? Scripture say he added. What does that mean? That means that was not there before. When the Lord established the bounds, that 15 wasn't there. But let you see the power of prayer. Prayer did what? It added. And it wasn't a healer. Jesus did it. That's why I can tell you flat-footed, when you are up against a wall, you need to learn how to pray. Don't devalue a fervent prayer life. Be right, because the scripture says it's only the righteous man. In other words, you got to have a right mind. You got to take into consideration your motives. You got to take into consideration the things that you are doing. You got to take into consideration how you are thinking. And all that stuff that's not like Jesus, you need to get rid of that stuff. Huh? You got to stop it. You got to say today is the end. Huh? Put that sin in the place of death. Huh? No more can you associate. Say, Elder Scudder, I don't want to be. Oh, no, maybe not me. I don't want to say I'll discover. You could tell Jesus. Jesus, I don't want to be a liar no more. Jesus, I don't want to be filthy no more. Huh? Jesus, I don't want to do this or do that no more. Today is the day it stops. Huh? Come on. That's scripture, saints. If a man is willing to do what? Repent. Huh? Mean turn from his wicked ways, right? Seek the Lord's face, right? Turn from his wicked ways. The Lord said, I'll heal you. The healer said it. I will heal you, right? Come on, read a little bit more. It says, if you take into careful consideration the text that we read from James, don't forget the two parts that it said there in the beginning. Confess your faults one to another, and then it says for you to pray for one another. A saint can't look past the errors that are in their life expecting the Lord to bless them over that. The Lord requires repentance, what, first? And part of repentance is what? Confession. The world's teaching is that all it is confession. That's not true. Confession is just a part of repentance. Just because a person acknowledges they did something wrong doesn't mean that they have effectively repented. To acknowledge is one thing, but to stop is something different. Huh? You ain't never heard a person, sisters or brothers that talk about a woman that, or a man that keep on cheating on them. But you ask them every time that they cheated, say, why'd you stay with him? Because he said he was sorry. He confessed it, but did he stop it? So he didn't really repent. Huh? Does that make sense? That's why you got so many people that become lifelong citizens in jail. Jail is their home. Why? Because they went there for one wrong crime, and they end up going back again, most of the time for doing the same thing that they did the first time. Why? Because they didn't really repent. Did they say they were sorry? You go ask the judge. Huh? And go back and look at the tape. What did it say on the tape? Do you and I did it? I'm sorry. I'm just asking the court to have mercy on me, please. All right. This is just your first offense? Yeah, this is my first offense. I promise you, honor, I ain't going to do it no more. I ain't going to hang around them no more. I'm not going to do it no more. I'm just so sorry. Then they go on. Say, all right, well, instead of, we could give you 20 years, but instead of 20, we'll give you 5. Oh, thank you so much, Your Honor. I appreciate you. They go in there for 5. I don't know when you get probation. You can get probation for 5 maybe in a year or a half, something like that, 2 years. He get in jail for a year and a half, and he'd be in there two years. You come on out. You're up for probation. He'd be, I've been real good, Your Honor. I've done everything I was supposed to do probation for. You know, I was good citizens while I was in there. And they say, all right, we're going to let you get back out. Who's at the gate? Who's at the gate waiting for you? Them same devils that she was with before you got in there. Yeah, he goes sorry, right back with him again. Huh? And they go put back in your hand the thing that got you in there the first time. They put it back in your hand and the devil talk to you. Good. Don't nobody do it like you do it. You really know what you're doing, and you let that devil pump your head up, and you go out of jail forgetting why you were in there. Go back out there and do the same thing again. Huh? Realize technology has changed. These places that were dark got cameras now. Huh? Huh? They can see you from miles away. Huh? Guess what? You got caught. Come back before the judge again. And now you're same thing that you did the first time. Now is it here again? The same. Sometimes I would go be looking, you know, when I used to work at the, when I used to work for the welfare department. And them guys would come in there and we would have to go do checks on the criminal histories. And sometimes you just be looking. And now it would be amazing to see people that were so young, you only 25, 26, and you got a record sheet that's not one page, it's like 7 pages. And you know, they list your crimes. You go to DOJ, they list your crimes, what you were charged with. And it's as though somebody just said, copy, paste, copy, paste, copy, paste, copy. Because it's the exact same thing. It's like you think you're looking at deja vu, but they're saying, this person has been caught this number of times doing the exact same thing. But if you go back and listen to the judge, what did they tell the judge all of those times? I'm sorry, Your Honor. I ain't going to do it again. I'm sorry, Your Honor. I ain't going to do it again. And my wife says, some of them, you don't even need to. You wasting my tax dollars. Tell you to go, just throw them right in jail. don't even have no trial. You say you see them walking down the street, boom, 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 boom. Why have a trial? You see what they're doing. They end up getting off because somebody, a police or somebody, oh, we didn't put the correct label on it. Oh, you can't use it. But it's the gun, but you instead of a 2, we put a 7. You can't use it. You can't use that, not as evidence. You can't use it because it's the wrong label. I see it all the time. I'm trying to tell you how it works. See it all the time. It's the wrong label. They can't use it. But this is our main proof. You can't use it. But he's on camera. You put the wrong label on there. You can't use that as evidence. Can't use it. So now, how are you gonna convict somebody for a shooting? And because the police put the wrong label on there, you can't even use the gun. You got to drop the charges. Drop the charges. I'm out. Drop charges. I'm out. Go back to doing the same thing again. Same thing again. So I'm trying to tell you, confession is not enough. You got to be willing to do what? Stop that stuff. Right? That's true and full repentance. When you confess and actually stop it. Let's read that scripture. I'm going to let you know if you're ready to go. No, on that front page. Confess your faults one with another. Do you have any faults that you have not dealt with? This would be include shortcomings, errors, unacceptable behaviors, thoughts that I'm neglecting to repent of. What does the Lord say? Behold, the Lord's hand is not short, that it cannot save you. His ear is not heavy, that he cannot hear you. But what? Your whose iniquities? Not your mom's and not your dad's, but whose? Your sin. Your sin have done what? That's right. That's why the devil don't want people to go down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ. Because he knows when you go down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ, it removes sin. And what does sin do? Sin separates you from Jesus. Right? Does that make sense? Your iniquities have separated you between your God, and your sins have done what?
It is saved from you that he will not hear.
But what does Acts chapter number 3 and 19 tell you to do? Repent and be converted, that what? Your sins may be what? Blotted out. That's right. That's right. You can go, keep going. Yes.
Pray for one for another. Do I consider petitioning Jesus to help and aid others?
Yes.
This would include your saints and church. But will also include the salvation of sin.
Yes. Also, yeah. You cannot get out of praying also for your enemies. People that do you wrong. You need to include them in your prayer life. So it's got to pray for what? You need to pray to the Lord to save them. You can't pray to the Lord to put a hurting on them. You need to pray to the Lord to do what? Save them. Right? In other words, change them. Change them. Change them. Change them. That enemy can now become your friend. But you got to be willing to open yourself up to allow that change to happen. If you're so full of bitterness and hatred over what they did in the past, they'll never be able to show you something that they could be.
Yeah.
I'll say it again. Yeah. If you're so full of bitterness over what they did in the past, you will never see the blessing of what they can be.
Yeah.
You got to be willing to do what? Forgive them and pray to the Lord to make them better. Right?
Yeah.
And as the Lord begins to make them better, you get better right along with them. Right? You get better right along with them. Don't hold who they were over their head. Huh? Because they're approaching Jesus with faith to make them better. Huh? What if the Lord held over our head who we were? Huh? Brother, you'd never be a deacon. Right? Huh? I would never be a preacher. Huh? If the Lord held who I was over my head, I was a car thief. Yeah, now they were looking at me. Yes, I was a car thief. And I ain't steal from somebody I didn't know. I stole from my mama and my daddy. Yeah. If the Lord held that over my head, you'd never see me here today. Right? But someone who I was, now you think my mom and daddy were glad to see, to find out that I stole their car? My mother wanted to fight me. Oh, yeah. It took all of the Holy Ghost inside of her. Because she was, if you let her siblings tell it, out of all the siblings, she was the fighter. She was the one that was ready to, I ain't saying she may have won every fight, but she'll fight you. She'll put up her fist, and I'm trying to tell you, I remember that day like it was yesterday. Hey, he's your mother. This is the one you surely see to say for the 9 months she carried. She put her fist up. Bop, bop, bop. And I was like, whoa. What is this? Mom! Mom! Wasn't nobody but Jesus. Wasn't nobody but Jesus. Daddy had talked to him, say, oh, no, I'll deal with him. And he talked to me. Now, my dad is a little bit different. He was the worst. Yeah. When I say he was the worst, I'm going to let y'all go. Because he was quiet, and he wanted to talk to you before he disciplined you. And then when he's disciplining you, it's not like you're not going to get the discipline the way he taught. He put all of his strength in every lick that he would give you. And I mean, and it's just like he talked. He took his time until he felt he got his point across. And I mean, remember, I'm not a child, so to speak, at this moment. I'm a teenager. I'm kind of big. So do you get beaten when you be? Yeah, you sure do. You sure do. You sure do. Yeah, I got them till I was up there. Got dragged out of a school. Knowing that my dad was going to whip that belt off real quick because he could take it and just go swoop. And I was praying I didn't see none of my friends coming down the hall. Because I didn't want nobody to be teasing me about getting no whipping. But yeah, he had hope. Well, see, but I say all that to say, thank the Lord he didn't deal with me back then. Somebody had to be able to look beyond that and see that I could be better than what I was, right? That's what the scripture is basically talking about when you say pray for one another. When you have people that have done you wrong, you got to find the will to do what? Pray, Jesus. Lord Jesus, please make them better. Please deliver them from that mind frame. Help them to see who they can be. Huh? It's easy to pray for people that are nice to you, but you need to pray also for what? Your enemies, right? Is that true?
Yes.
Come on, read the scripture. What does it say? I exhort therefore.
Exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks may be made for all men.
We run past that word all. Mm-hmm. We like to put our selective, you know, say those that I know. Nah, you need to pray for who? Everybody. All means A-L-L, right? Everybody. Who do we need to pray for? Kings? For all of those that are what? In authority? That we may lead a what?
Quiet and peaceable life and godliness and honor.
This is how we know that there is a problem in the earth with the prayer of people. Mm-hmm. Because what are we noticing is not happening. Mm-hmm. I'm not seeing quietness. No. And I definitely ain't seeing peace.
No.
Huh? No. You don't see quietness. You don't see peace. You don't see godliness. Right? You definitely don't see no honesty. So that let me know people are not doing what anymore? They're not praying. See, as I tell y'all, y'all see it on it. You see it on your social media. Oh, God, dial this number. Come be a part of my prayer conference call. That is not prayer. The Lord want to see you on your knees. Lord want to see you actually crying out to him. With what? A spirit of what? Fervency. What does fervency mean? Yes. That's right. That's what moves Jesus, saints. That's what moves Jesus. So ask the Lord to help you. I think we all could ask Jesus to do that for us, to help us to be a little bit more fervent in our prayer life. We just don't want to praying just to say I did it. Don't pray as a task item to check off of your list. So that somebody asks you, did you pray today? Yeah, I prayed. I got my prayers in. No, don't do that. Don't do that. Really be sincere about what you're doing before Jesus. As I say, the majority of your prayers are not going to be on your knees. I'm just telling you that flat-footed. The majority of your prayer life is not going to be on your knees. I've had some good heated prayer while I was walking down the sidewalk, and it was just me and Jesus. I've had some real powerful prayer while I was driving in my car to work. Huh? One word about nobody beside me. It was just me and Jesus. Tears began to fall. I began to cry out to the Lord. And it was just me and Jesus. And the Lord blessed me as a result of that prayer. He blessed me as a result. And if he did it for me, he'll do the same thing for you. Okay? All right. I'm going to stop. Trust y'all got something out the word. Hide the word in your heart that you may not sin against.